So Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and makes a statement and says that after everything said and done, notwithstanding these fluctuations and transitions and shifts, Karev Elecha Adavar Miyot. Frag Dal Terebbe, Ein Karev Miyot Adavar. Lahapich Libi Mitayves Elam Hazalavas Hashem Bamas. How can you say this? Ukamay Shekasev Begemara, as the Gemara puts it, Atu Yirem Milse Zutrasihi. The Gemara in Brachas Lamed Gimel, Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, quotes the pasuk which Moshe Rabbeinu says in the Torah and Sefer Dvarim, Va'ata Yisrael Ma Hashem Alekecha Shoyel Meimach Kiyim LeYiras Hashem Alekecha. Now Israel, what is Hashem asking from you? Only to fear Him, only to experience Yira. So the Gemara says, Atu Yirem Milse Zutrasihi. Is fear of heaven a small matter that Moshe is saying, what is Hashem already asking from you besides L'yiras Hashem Elokecha? What Yira is such a small thing. It's quite a difficult task to experience Yira. So the Gemara says this even about Yira Zagdal Terebbe V'kol Shekeinava. If this is true of fear, how much more so is it true of love? Because it's much more difficult to experience and develop a love towards Hashem than to develop a fear from Hashem. To develop a fear from something is far easier than to develop a love towards it. A love underscores a whole deeper type of relationship between you and the thing or the person that is beloved by you. So the Gemara says about Yirim Milsezutrasi Kol Shekeinav. So it's not just something that's antithetical to our experience, Neged Hachush. The Gemara even states it, and the Gemara even states it about the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Even about his times as Yirim Milsezutrasi. The Gemara answers in Legabe Moshe Yirim Milsezutrasi. Yes, for Moshe Yir is a small matter. Later in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe asks in chapter 42, what's the answer? Look how Moshe is talking to the Jews. He's not talking to himself, he's talking to the Jewish people. So what does Alter Rebbe say? There's a Moshe in every Jew. Okay, but in any case, the Alter Rebbe is not addressing here the answer. We'll discuss it more in detail then, in Mirtz Hashem. But the Alter Rebbe is discussing here the question of the Gemara is what's interesting. The Gemara says, is Yira a small thing? Yira is not a small thing. Certainly Ava is not a small thing. So the experience of Blavavcha, of developing a passion towards it, meaning it becoming part of the I, identity, is not Karav Miyot.
Rashi means to draw out the God in you.
Yeah. V'gam, also Amru Razal, our sages also said in Medrash, in Bereshis Rabbah, Parsha Yedale, the tzaddikim dafka libim birushusam. That only tzaddikim have control over their hearts. It is only tzaddikim whose hearts find themselves within their domain. Which means that the tzaddik indeed is a master over his heart. The tzaddik can control his heart and develop and bring out within his heart various emotional experiences, whether love or towards Hashem and so forth. And we know that the tzaddik, as explained at length in the Tanya, is a unique spiritual state of mind, state of heart, which is not necessarily relevant to the average individual Jew. And Karav Elecha Adavar Miyot, Moshe is addressing the body, the collective body of the Jewish people, both as part of the collective tzibur and as individuals. So we see from it that it's only tzaddikim that libim birushusim, versus not tzaddikim, libim are not birushusim. Their lave gravitates to various objects, things, creatures, people, and so forth, as a result of its natural dispositions, and you cannot say that you can actually control your lev and create a feeling of belvavcha towards godliness and spirituality. It is to explain this issue for which the Alter Rebbe wrote the Tanya. And for this, the Alter Rebbe indeed had to develop and explain the structure of the human being. He had to return back to the essence of what makes us tick, of what we are all about, what are the mechanisms in which we operate. Okay. What is the source of our natural dispositions and cravings and impulses? So for this, the Alter Rebbe had to discuss the duality in the human being's life between a transcendental consciousness and an egotistical consciousness, between a divine soul and an animal soul. The Alter Rebbe had to explain that both of these consciousnesses are inherently part of the human being. They're not superimposed, an illusion, they're not a dream, they're not a fantasy. Both are there. The human being has an animal soul, he also has a godly soul. The human being has a selfish, self-centered, zoological soul, and also has a transcendental, selfless, idealistic, godly soul. And we operate on these two levels of consciousness. And this is indeed the source of the dichotomy in life, and it's the source of all conflict, as he explained. Periktes, he described it in very dramatic terms as an ongoing, that life is basically an awesome battlefield. There's an ongoing battle between these two consciousnesses. Every moment of the day, your life can either be an expression of your egotistical consciousness or of your divine consciousness. He also explained that true harmony and balance can only be achieved in life through one alternative, and that is when the animal soul submits to the divine soul, not vice versa. Because ultimately, in the natural scheme of things, the egotistical soul will submit willingly to the divine soul, not vice versa. So therefore, when a person is loyal to his identity, to his true identity, to his divine identity, he can ultimately achieve harmony within the within diversity and peace within peacelessness. This has been discussed at length. These are all the foundational blocks which lead us to this chapter 17. On these levels of consciousness, he discussed the three personalities, the Tzaddik, Beinoni, and Rasha, the superhuman being, the weak human being, and an impossible man, the Beinoni, who experiences his dichotomy, but nevertheless always remains loyal to his identity. Now, what we have from this is A, that the animal soul is part of who we are, and B, that the divine soul is part of who we are. The Jew is not connected to divinity by virtue of indoctrination or education or only learning. The Jew is connected to divinity inherently. There is a godly element within his consciousness. There is a godly persona embedded within his psyche and character, possessing a whole range of attributes and faculties that make for a functioning persona, which is all godly. It's a nefesh elikis. And therefore, a Jew naturally responds to godliness. And a Jew can meditate and evoke an emotion towards godliness which will resonate within. There are those chords within him that naturally respond to that. They're godly chords. So when they hear a melody, they respond naturally. When they hear that type of song or melody. On the other hand, there is also nefesh habehamah. There's a shell concealing it. One second. That was the basis which he formed, for which he took it to the next step, where the human being now has the challenge to access the divine soul at every moment of his life. And part of that work is to create a love towards Hashem. But, and we all know that notwithstanding that, that final stage of the game, where your heart becomes on fire towards Hashem, is very difficult. So in Perek Tezayin, the Alter Rebbe said, there's something else that every individual is capable of. And that is, your mind you're the master of. Your mind you're the master of. And your mind you can meditate and contemplate whatever you like at any time of the day. A person has the full liberty to do with his or her mind what they wish. They might not exercise that liberty. They might abuse that capacity, but they have their potential. And your mind can meditate upon things in an abstract way, and then can take it further and apply it to your individual life. The mind can produce a conviction, a personal conviction. The mind can produce a personal realization, which he called an ahava b'moyach, because it's a love. Your mind can produce an inclination towards something. That's what I mean by a conviction. A conviction means that this is the proper thing. This is what I should be doing. It's an inclination towards it. It's not just a mathematical equation in the timetable of existence. I told you about the professor who was, I told you many times, I think, about the professor who was teaching mathematics in university. He died not long ago. And he was also teaching ethics, but he was known the world over as an extremely unethical human being, absolutely contrary to what he was teaching. So once one of the students came over to him and said, "Professor, how do you teach ethics when your behavior is in stark opposition to that type of teachings, to those types of teachings?" So he said, "I also teach mathematics. Does that mean that I am a circle or a triangle? It's two distinct entities." So there is that type of meditation. But then there is a meditation that is applied to the human condition in a very personal and individualistic way, where you become the triangle. But you don't become the triangle in a palpable way where that becomes what you gravitate to, but at least in an intellectual way it obligates you. That every person is capable of. Every person is capable of because he has a mind. And every person will respond to that in some way because he has a divine soul. So the Alter Rebbe says that this is the Bilvavcha which is Karev Elecha Davar Miyait. The type of Bilvavcha where the love is not necessarily felt in the conscious heart, but it is experienced in the inner hidden recesses of the heart, which will result in a certain type of lifestyle and behavior. That is the bilvavcha which the pasuk is referring to, which is karev elecha davar miyait. Let's see inside. Ela de la'asaisai. The word la'asaisai, which comes after bilvavcha, is basically qualifying what the bilvavcha means. It's a qualification for the bilvavcha. It's saying a leimer. He is attempting to say ha'ava ha'mevi'el de'asiyas ha'mitzvahs bilvat. He is attempting to. He's referring to the love which merely leads to the fulfillment of the mitzvahs. Although, strictly speaking, it's not a strict, real feeling of the heart. So karev elecha davar miyad beficha uvilvavcha la'asaisai. The la'asaisai is a qualification for the bilavavcha. What type of bilavavcha is karev? A bilavavcha which leads to la'asaisai. And for that, you do not need necessarily, as explained in chapter 16 at length, a love which permeates your heart, that you have experienced a glowing, fiery flame imbued with passion and ecstasy towards Hashem. That would be nice, that would be wonderful, it would be extraordinary and amazing. But a person can live a certain way, even if he doesn't always have that bren, that burn, that fire within him, pushing him towards there. But rather he has an intellectual realization, maybe a feeling that he should be feeling, or a feeling that if he doesn't do it, he'll feel terrible. I don't mean a guilty conscience, rather a positive intellectual realization of what is the proper thing that can lead him to a certain type of lifestyle, even if he's not in burning mood to go do it. Yad Rebbe Yitzchak of Baditshever, the holy Rebbe Yitzchak of Baditshever, they said, Sukkot, the first night of Sukkot, he couldn't go to sleep because he couldn't wait for dawn to beacon so he could bench Lulav and Esrik. He didn't do the mitzvah for a year. Rebbe Yitzchak's heart was on fire towards Hashem. The way to cleave to Hashem is to Torah and mitzvahs. Sukkot is through Lulav and Esrik. He didn't do it all year. So the Lulav, he couldn't sleep all night. Like the most momentous experience is going to happen to you the following day. You can't sleep the night before. For him, it was like the night before his marriage. He couldn't sleep. Marriage with his soul. I mean, so they talk to say that dawn came, and the lulav and esrig, the four species, the lulav and esrig, the hadas and over, were behind a glass bookcase. Reb Levi Yitzchak was in a state of ecstasy. Once dawn arrived, he was mamish at the verge of total consumption, totally being consumed. Okay, so he dashed into the bookcase. The glass broke. He was bleeding terribly, but he went to his lulav and esrig. He didn't realize the glass. That's what was happening to his passion. That's a certain type of bilvavcha. I don't know how many Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baditshevers you have walking around the streets these days. But there is a belavavcha which can lead to behavior. And for that, for a manifestation in your behavioral life, you do not necessarily need that type of motivation. Of course, if you have that inspiration, you'll naturally go do things which that inspiration demands. But a human being can have an intellectual realization that this is the proper thing and go act based upon that. Do you agree with me that this is how you should behave? So go behave that way. I don't feel for it. So do it without a feeling towards it. It's not that you disagree with me. You're not arguing with me philosophically that it's wrong. Philosophically, you understand it's correct, right? Philosophically, you understand that it's correct for you, and it's correct for you at this moment. Based on that, go ahead and do it. But that has to be a real realization. So that's what he's saying. The La'aseisa explains the Belavavcha. What type of Belavavcha? Belavavcha which leads to La'aseisa. Shehiru us the libesh of a taluma slave. This means the hidden desire of the heart. Gam ki ein bizgalus libekiris ve'esh. Even if it does not burn openly like a flaming fire, it can still lead a person to live a certain lifestyle, to live a life which is consistent with his true identity, with his soul, and with Hashem's blueprint for life, which is basically the blueprint that is a projection of man's identity. That, by the way, explains also an interesting inconsistency in the pasuk. Ki karev elecha adavar miyoid, beficha in your mouth, uvel vavcha, and in your heart, la'asaisai. Apparently, it should have said vila'asaisai. Just as it says uvel vavcha, it should also say vila'asaisai, in your mouth, and in your heart, and that you may do it. If we're dealing actually with three distinct features, so there should be a vav by la'asaisai, before la'asaisai, just like before vilvavcha. And the answer for that is that beficha vilvavcha are indeed separated. But vilvavcha la'asaisai is a continuum of the word vilvavcha. It's karev ma'id in your mouth. It's also karev ma'id in your heart. But not in your heart per se, in that heart experience which leads to action. What type of heart experience leads to action? You do not need a heart experience where your heart is glowing like coals, where your heart becomes a fireball. That is not the bilvavcha which is required in order to result in a la'asaisa. But even the ava b'talumay slave, even a much more latent and hidden experience, which is personal, which is subjective, but is not felt consciously, even that bilavavcha leads to la'asaisa. That is karev ma'id. Why is that karev ma'id? Zok d'alter Rebbe, v'davar zen, this thing, karev ma'id, is very close. V'nekel l'chaladam. And it's easy to every human being, asher yesh lei mayach b'katkadai. Our brain is that, yeah. Well, we have, well, at the moment, we don't have brains in our heart. For the... Sometimes our brains actually are subjugated to our hearts. But for his mind is under his control. Tzadikim is libam birishusam. But even if not libam birishusam, your mind is always under your control. That belongs to you exclusively. You cannot say, I can't do anything with my mind. Lost case. We'll see sometimes, yes. Sometimes that also happens. But You fry your brain so much that you don't have a mind anymore. But under normal circumstances, the mayach is always birishuscha. V'yachal is b'ainem b'bechala sheyachpetz. And with it, he can meditate as he pleases on any subject. Hence, she is b'ainem b'bechdolos in seif baruchu. If then he will contemplate with it on the greatness of Hashem, memela, he will inevitably yoled b'meichei akolpana, generate in his mind at least ha'av al Hashem, a love towards Hashem l'dafka by b'kiyam mitzvos v'tirasei, and a desire to cleave to him through the performance of his mitzvahs and the study of his Torah. Since the Meich is Virushusai, so every single human being can utilize his mind to meditate on appropriate subjects, and as a result of that, he will experience an inclination. If not a Bren, but he will experience a realization, a conviction, to live in a certain way, that it's appropriate to live in a certain way. This is concerning the whole of Tayyam. It's also concerning every single moment of your day. You can generate, at least in your mind, that type of conviction and realization. That every person can do. And Alter Rebbe adds, now you can ask the question, and what do you gain by all of this? Mele, if it's a belvavcha, that's happening, nu. But if it's a belvavcha that only leads to la saisai, you ultimately remain alienated. So the Alter Rebbe says, nay, nay, v'zeh kol adam. This constitutes the whole person, the whole purpose of man. It's a quote from the end of Kehelas, actually. Kehelas is a very philosophical book. Kehelas is on the depressing side somewhat, and philosophically, and Shlomo HaMelech concludes, interestingly, Seif Davar HaKel Nishma. At the end of the day, let everyone hear, as Elikim Yerav, as Mitzvahis of Shmar, Kizek HaLa'adam. You should fear Hashem and observe His mitzvahs because that constitutes the whole purpose of man. So the Alter Rebbe says, in the ultimate scheme of things, this living in a certain way constitutes the whole purpose of man. Ki hayom la'aseisim k'siv. The pasuk tells us in Parshas Vaschanan, I command you these mitzvahs that you do them this day. Shahayom huwaylam ha'maisa dafka. Chazal tell us in Erev and Av Chav Beis that this day, referring specifically to this world of physical action, ulamachar l'kachulu. The Gemara says, Hayayim la'asaysam ulamachar l'kabal scharam. Today, this world is the world of action. Ulamachar, tomorrow is the afterlife. That's what we mean by tomorrow, is the time of reward. As is explained elsewhere. So what do we see from this Gemara? That basically what constitutes the purpose of man while living in this physical world of action is asiya, to do, to act, to live a lifestyle which is consistent with the Torah and the mitzvahs. A lifestyle of Torah and mitzvahs. Then there is the lemacher experience, the lekabel scharam experience, the receiving of the reward experience. There is the love, which is a prerequisite for a life, for living a certain way. Then there is love experience per se. Love itself is a purpose. Okay, love itself means you're permeated with godliness and spirituality. You're on a blissful high from godliness. Essentially, he says, that is the nature of Olam Haba. That is what Olam Haba, that's part of the reward experience. The reward experience is when a person is nan, meziv Hashchina, is filled all of the time with Ahavas Hashem, with a love towards Hashem. That's the Lamachar Lekabel Scharam. But Hayayim, what is the focus of Hayayim, is Olam HaMaisa. So therefore, what is really the purpose of love today? Not a love as a purpose, as an end in itself, just to bask and bathe in the radiance and glow of godliness. That's a gewaldige Sache, a tzaddik indeed. The Alter Rebbe writes in Perek Yudal, Eilam Chatir B'chayach, he experienced Eilam Hab in this world. So this world for him is a bathtub of godliness in which he is submerged all of the day. But by the average Jew, that's an experience of Olam Haba. The purpose of Ahava today is basically, primarily, as a prerequisite, as a preface, which is important for doing. Because you cannot do if there's no feeling whatsoever. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's devoid. So you need that type of Belvav Chalasa. So a person shouldn't lament and come and say, very nice. Okay. So you give him a big nechama. That this Belvav Chalasa is possible. He says, that constitutes the purpose of man, ultimately. What constitutes the purpose of human being is Hayayim Oelam HaMaisa, to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs. In this physical world, to live a life which is in accordance with the divine will. That constitutes the human being. That is Karev Mayit, every single human being. The Beficha element, the La'asaisi element, and for that you need the Belavavcha, that type of belavavcha which can produce lasaisa. That's karev miyot. So you fulfill your mission on earth in a very powerful and real and honest way. How does all this fit into Mashiach and to Geula? Does this apply to them? This is what produces the world of redemption. This whole drama is what produces the whole Messianic world, which will be discussed in chapter 36 and 37 at length. But, you can check it up, you can look it up there, but this whole drama and dichotomy and everything that comes about, it produces the world of Mashiach. You see, the world of Geula is not a, as some people think, a utopian world that will just be imposed upon this world one bright morning, or afternoon, or evening. Geula is about something else. Geula is similar, that the Rebbe writes this elsewhere, to a theater, to a play. The stage is set before the curtain is open. When the curtain, a child thinks that when the curtain was opened, that's when the stage was set. The stage was set before. Whatever didn't exist on the stage before will not exist when the curtain was opened. What happens at the opening of the curtain is it becomes conspicuous. That's the only difference. And the crowd outside of the curtain begins to appreciate and observe the beautiful props and structural patterns that have been erected on the stage. That's exactly exile and redemption. The stage is set now. Everything happens now. Mashiach coming means Hashem opens the curtain. Have a wonderful week. Aksivoch simatayva shana tayva msukha.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.